This is Real Life with Lisa Jesswine on Empower Radio. EmpowerRadio.com. Here's your host, Lisa Jesswine.
Well, hello, Empower listeners. Thanks so much for joining us today. I have a question for you to start off. In a season that is filled with blessings, is it sometimes hard to count yours? Does it kind of seem like life keeps kicking you, and even after you're flat on the ground, physically, emotionally, spiritually, psychologically, even financially, you feel like you just keep getting kicked? Well, my guest today decided to stand over and over again and then took it one step further, wanting to inspire those that may need that helping hand of getting up off the ground. Jawanda Parker, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am fantastic. And thank you for taking time off from being an educator, a minister, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a new mom to speak with us. How's everything going?
It's going quite well. We're enjoying our transitioning period with the new baby, but all is well.
Oh, that's great. So when I started off talking about how when people feel like they are constantly down and kicked and can't get back up, I know that you have a very inspiring story about how you continued to do that. It's chronicled in the book, It Only Hurts When I Can't Run, One Girl's Story. So tell me how the book came about.
Actually, it came about right after I was experiencing a very difficult time. I had what I would call going into the process of possibly a nervous breakdown. And my doctor at the time said that I needed to get in counseling. I've always journaled, but once I started counseling, my counselor suggested that I begin to uncover everything that was bothering me. And so as I began to uncover it, it seemed to go deeper and deeper and deeper. And the more I wrote, the more I wanted to write, and the more counseling I needed as I uncovered every area that troubled me. And so that was the start of it. And then later, in talking with others and experiencing life with them as they travel through their own struggles, I thought, you know, hey, I've gained some help in these areas. I've gotten some healing. Then I should write something that would help others to go ahead with life and not to give up.
Now, let's give our listeners a little bit of background, because you have been, I mean, your childhood and growing up was not easy. You've been abandoned, neglected. There's been foster homes. You were even physically and sexually assaulted. How does a small child survive in all of that?
As a small child, I would say, but the title of the book is called It Only Hurts When I Can't Run. And so I begin running in my mind, just thinking of pretending I was a princess, pretending that life was not happening, escaping that way. And then my faith, I was in church from an early child. And so the stories in the Bible, I kind of personalized those stories and saw myself fighting, like, for instance, David and Goliath. So I was fighting the giants in my life. And so I would personify myself in those areas and, again, escape into make-believing that I was not actually experiencing the pain that I was feeling. And so that was the start of really trusting God, really. As I prayed, I knew someone out there somewhere was listening to me. I tell a story in the book about when I prayed for a worm, and as I saw the worm, I didn't see the worm. I wanted the worm to be resurrected, and when I went back to go check, the worm was actually gone. So that, as a child, taking something as simple as that, connecting those biblical stories, and then to know that in my mind that God had actually resurrected a worm, which in actuality probably the worm was not dead, but it was just a faith builder. And so using those little things that happened along the way, it encouraged me, it strengthened me, and I just knew I wasn't alone.
And so, you know, your mom, I believe, wasn't she entrenched in addiction?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So who was your best adult role model? Who first put their hand out to you? I mean, because in some ways, I mean, if you were made to go to church or brought to church, in some ways that did save you. So I'm thinking that some of the adults in your life, maybe it was your mother that got you to go to church. Who did that? Who brought you there?
My first person that I can remember was my foster mom. In the book, her name is Miss Taylor, and she introduced me to church from a very early age. In fact, we were made to go to church, to sing in the choir, to do the Sunday school lessons. And so church for me became a way of existence. It was like, there's no way I would not attend church. And as I attended church, then my faith in God grew. And so at a early age, I believe my relationship with God began to start to grow. From Ms. Taylor, there were others, the youth leaders, the youth ministers, mentoring. It seems to be that someone was everywhere in every situation, that someone was there that I could look up to, that I could see life different, and that they actually reached out to talk to me, to help me, to support me in some form.
Now, having gone through all of this, were you ever mad at God?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I wondered why most of my life, and even I don't want to talk as if it's all it's done. Even there are times now that I wonder, you know, God, where are you? Where were you? How could you allow this to happen? And did you see? Did you care? And so as I have grown and studied more and begin to accept the love of God, and yeah, I'm understanding that it's the grace of God that kept me, but we have an enemy in life too. And so God just brought me through all of those situations, but it wasn't God's fault. And so I had to learn to grow into that level of maturity to understand that.
And so for everything that you went through, forgiveness is a big word, and we know it's very healing. Have you completely forgiven those that have hurt you?
I have completely forgiven some.
Okay.
And what I mean by some is I have not gone down the road of restitution and reconciliation with some of the people that hurt me. Those that I have, I can say absolutely yes, I have completely forgiven. In the book, you'll read the story of my mother and our relationship, and to be at a place to know that I have completely forgiven my mother with everything we encountered gives me hope to know that I can do it with everybody else, because that was, I would say, the deepest hurt, the greatest hurt, the one that hit at the core of myself, and to allow us to come to a different place in our relationship before she died was just phenomenal. So that gives me hope that those that I have not come to that place with, i.e. because of relationship, because of them not being ready, me not being ready, mm-hmm. and you know, I know it's possible.
Well, and you know, the thing too is people will always say, well, you've got to forgive. And they want to make it sound like it's on their time frame. Forgiveness is something that takes time to do. And you may, like you had said, forgive some completely and others you're still working on, because it's a work in progress, right?
Absolutely. Every day, every situation, every trigger, every thought, every remembrance. It's a process that you have to continuously surrender God and surrender it and just release it over and over and over again.
What would you say to someone if they wanted a relationship with God, but they didn't know how to do it?
I would honestly say believe. That is one of the things that I have come to grips with. Believe the Bible and to believe that God cares. I can't earn that relationship. I will never, ever be good enough. I cannot dismiss it. It's a free gift. And so as I have come to believe that God cares, that God loves me, that God has a plan for my life, it's a good plan, then that helps me to settle into the relationship, because the relationship then is built on that trust and believing. And then my behaviors and my attitudes and my actions, they follow after that. So it's no, to me, it's no magical trick outside of coming to a place of totally trusting and believing in a God we can't see, but we can certainly have faith that God exists.
And some people are like, yeah, well, I don't like God's plan. Because it does happen, right? I don't like God's plan. I don't like God's clock. I want a TikTok. I want it right now. And I want it the way I want it. There comes that sort of, that's where you have to sort of rest into the acceptance and release the outcome.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's a hard thing to do as humans and as people who want to control situations. We want it how we want it. And God doesn't work that way. It's how God wants it. And we just have to get on board and actually trust and have faith that it's going to turn out good, although it's not going according to how we plan or desire it to go. But at the end, it works out well.
Now, what sort of left turns did you take in your life because of the hardships you went through? And by left turns, I mean, where did you go off the path? Did you come away from God? In what areas?
I would say the areas that I came off with God is probably that forgiveness. And relationships. I've had a hard time over the course of my life developing relationships that were what I would consider low maintenance. Of any other word except for low maintenance, because when you come from a background of abuse or hurt or trauma, particularly in your childhood, these are the things that shape your thinking and consequently your actions. And so for me, having close relationships, that was a hard one. Some of the relationships turned out sour, where I am no longer in connection with those people. I experienced a lot of rejection, and with that rejection, it led me into deep levels of depression, even at sometimes suicidal thoughts and thinking. Then it was just the loneliness period that I encountered, and always just not feeling that I was good enough or my self-worth. And so those type feelings and actually realities, they kind of sent me down a road of just isolation. I never, ever got into the drug addiction or the alcohol or the sexual type things. I think simply because I saw the horror of what it did with my mother and those that I knew experienced that. But my demons, so to speak, they were very introspective and dark and made me feel to be very alone, depressed, and just isolated.
Well, yeah, I can imagine that wanting to withdraw would be a safe haven because of what had occurred. And you talked about your close relationships. I imagine that it affected friend relationships, you know, family relationships, love relationships.
Yes, all of the above. In my family relationship, it's kind of complicated too, because I was in the foster care system. And so although I knew my biological family members, many of us never got the opportunity to develop close relationships. And so not developing them as you grow, it's like, okay, I know you, you know me, but that's the extent of it.
Yeah.
And so that was the level of rejection on both sides. And then my love relationship, I ended up marrying the man that I met when I was 14. We dated, when I was in college for four years. So we were engaged to be married. And I just gave him back his ring. Even to this day, I cannot give you a reason why I gave him back his ring outside of I was a broken person. Mm. 26 years later, we got married. And so, that turned around. But even in our relationship, after getting married and me knowing him at 14, we struggled. We struggled with the levels of intimacy because of the sexual abuse. Mm-hmm. We struggled with trust simply because I'd been hurt and wounded so badly. We struggled with communication because as a woman, I'm talking one way, and I've come to understand men and women are just totally different. But for me, it's like, is this normal? What part of that do you not understand? And him, is she psycho or what? And so we've had to struggle. And then with authority figures, because a lot of my abuse came from authority figures and safe places, I tended to push to make sure that I could trust you. And sometimes that came out in rebellion, passive rebellion. Sometimes it came out as extremely needy, that I needed your love, I needed your acceptance. And so sometimes I was rejected because no one understood how I operated. In fact, I didn't understand how I was operating. So yeah, it really affected relationships. And then with the counseling, having the opportunity to see myself and see this is normal and this is not normal. This is how this works and this is how this works. Then that helped me to redefine and to establish some boundaries and even how I dealt with people.
So, Joanna, how does somebody take care of anger? Because it's going to come boiling back every once in a while. How does someone help sort of dissipate that anger when it relates to some injustice or trauma or tragedy that has been thrown upon them?
I think honestly, one of the things is coming to grips with what is happening presently and what has happened. And so as I begin in my life to distinguish, is this a present situation or is this something that has residue from the past? That helped me to be very honest. And being honest, I had to be vulnerable. And that simply, going back to that communication piece, so that simply meant something as simple as, I don't like the way you talk to me. Or when I call, can you answer? This would help me to feel better. Opposed to flying off the handle, what's wrong? Why you didn't answer your phone? I didn't like that look. And what is that all about? So honesty for one. And then the second one is to really get in touch with oneself to understand, am I disappointed? Is this why the anger is coming? Am I hurt? Is this fueled by fear? Is this fueled by insecurity? So that anger does not come off as a dynamite stick. It comes off more so as, let me work through these feelings that I'm experiencing, and then I can identify them.
Oh, yeah, because anger is going to keep you a victim. It just is. It's every time you let that take over, and even if it is rehashing the past, if you can't work through it, you're allowing anger to label you a victim.
Yes, absolutely.
And so working through those emotions, and I love what you said about getting to know yourself, because guess what? There'll be times when you're really trying to get to know yourself and you may not like yourself so much. You might say, oh, wow, I was a rhymes with witch. And it's okay to own that. And we aren't perfect. We understand that. But especially when you're dealing with trauma, allow yourself moments to go ahead and hold the little girl or boy that you were that experienced those things, and hold yourself in that space. Allow yourself to cry if that's what's needed. Allow yourself to get angry if that's what's needed, and then let it go.
Yes. I started to know myself by taking care of the little girl.
Mm-hmm.
And that came once again out of counseling. I'm a big advocate for counseling. And that came out of counseling in understanding who was actually at the forefront of whatever emotion I was feeling. So like with my mother or an authority figure, if I felt very fearful because perhaps I didn't do something right or I was reprimanded or a boss wanted to tell me something, then I had to look at that through the eyes of an adult, but also embrace the little girl who was fearful that I was going to get spanked.
Mm.
And not just look at it in terms of they don't like me or something is wrong with me. No, you just did not do this right, and here's a way that you can do it better. And so I started taking care of the little girl in me. One of my counselors said, Jawanda, begin to parent the little Jawanda.
Mm-hmm.
And so as I began to parent the inner little girl in me, then I was able to come off more so as an adult.
Well, we are so glad that you got the chance to know the inner Jawanda, the little girl, and we're very privileged to have you here to tell us your story. If anybody is interested in finding out about It Only Hurts When I Can't Run, One Girl Story, you can go to Jawanda.com, and it's Jawanda.com. Plus, we will have the link up on our website, and you can check that out. We have come to the time of the program we like to call the RL3 or the Real Life 3, and you have graciously agreed to go ahead and answer our silly questions. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay.
I am.
You wake up tomorrow with the gift of being very talented at one sport. What sport are you going to be awesomely talented at?
Tennis.
Nice. I'm liking it. You get yourself some of those nice little outfits.
Yes.
Did you ever play tennis before?
No, I tried and I just could not move fast enough.
Well, tomorrow morning when you wake up, you're going to be awesome at it. Here is question number two. If the sky were made of blank, I'd feast for life.
Say that one more time.
If the sky were made of blank, I would feast for life.
If the sky... butter pecan ice cream.
Yeah. Remy, our producer in here, was just like, yes. Oh, that butter pecan. Now I might have to go get some after this. And the third and final question is, when we find out what your fantasy name is, and it's going to be the name of the first pet you ever had or animal that you liked with a name, and then the street you grew up on.
Okay. The first pet was Cujo.
Cujo? Cujo, and what was the street you grew up on?
Highland.
Cujo Highland, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking to Cujo Highland. Oh, my gosh. Well, thank you so much for sharing your time and energy and love and advice with us. And we really appreciate your story. And I hope our listeners can take a little something from that and get up off the ground and get going. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me. I've enjoyed it.